appreciate the opportunity to speak from God's Word this morning. Good to see all of you here. Glad to have the visitors, Janet and Todd and Dorinda and family. We're missing a few of ours this morning, but we're glad that you're here. I'd like to talk some concerning gospel preaching. Gospel preaching, and of course that would include teaching, discussing God's Word, studying the Bible with any and every person we possibly can. The comments that Chase made this morning in the for the Lord's Supper, the same principles can be applied to the area of our responsibilities of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thinking about what all that Jesus has gone to and the Father has gone to make a plan of salvation feasible and available to mankind. Considering the great monumental importance of people responding to that truth, we find as we study God's Word that we are the ones responsible to get that truth out to people. So when we talk about getting the Word of God out and available to people to see the truth, to hear the truth, whether we put it in the newspaper, we have gospel meetings, we hand out literature, we get Bible studies with people, we leave tracts or information in various places, whatever we do. I want to impress upon our minds that this work is urgent and controversial. It's urgent because people are dying around us every day. It's controversial because most people disagree with it and don't want to be under that persuasion. So when we look into the Bible, and we look at the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists and the teachers, the brethren of the first century, we find a very important fact. Those people, as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, did not avoid controversy. And that's something that we just can't get today, because our society frowns upon controversy. They don't like controversy. They want everybody to get along. And they don't want anyone telling other people that they're wrong, because that causes controversy, contention. But the truth has everything to gain and nothing to fear from public examination. And we have to understand that the truth is God speaking to us. And whether the world wants to hear it or not isn't important. Whether the world reacts in opposition to it doesn't make any difference in our minds if we're going to be as these people were in the first century. And so when we look at the scriptures and we see their attitudes and their actions, that's where we learn how to be the kind of people God wants us to be today as we live here upon this earth for a short while. When you look at Paul, for example, you see him visiting synagogues, schools, and other public places where people were willing to discuss and to debate concerning the kingdom of God and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the truth, he exposed the false religious teachings, the theories, the claims that men put forth. And so we can turn to so many passages, and in the remainder of our time this morning, we'll look at a few. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19, and at least let's read verses 8 through 20. Speaking, showing Paul being in Ephesus, and he entered into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, reasoning and persuading as to the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, insomuch that unto the sick were carried away from his body handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out. But certain also of the strolling Jews, exorcists, took upon them to name over them that had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Siva, a Jew, a chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit answered and said unto them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and mastered both of them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all, both Jews and Greeks that dwelt at Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Many also of them that had believed came confessing their deed and declaring their deeds. And not a few of them that practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. Notice, the reason the word mightily grew and prevailed was because Paul was willing to teach and preach it and to function the way God had asked him to do. There's many, many other examples. Let's look at a few more in Acts. 17th chapter, first 4 verses of Acts. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them, and for 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures, opening and alleging that it behooved the Christ to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom, said he, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ. In verse 4 we go on, and some of them were persuaded and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Go over to the 16th and 17th verses of the same book. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he beheld the city full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with them that met him. And then the 18th chapter, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded, or sought to persuade, Jews and Greeks. So these are just a few passages that you see the aggressive attitude of Paul. And there are many, many places in the Scriptures you can see the same attitude of reasoning going on, debating, discussing, persuasion. And that's battle. That's battle speaking the Word of God against false teachings and false practices. Brethren, it's a danger sign when brethren today see seek some non-controversial way to preach Christ. When they are ashamed of preaching that which contrasts truth and error. Many brethren echo the claim of false teachers that, quote, controversy and debating does more harm than good. When you start hearing that kind of teaching, then you know that the teacher is going away from the Word of God. New Testament preachers did not speak smooth words and fair speeches. And then instead they spoke as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. What was their cry? Passages like Jude verse 3. Contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. Contend, it comes from that word and involves that English word contentious. The opposite of what some brethren want us to do today is, well, don't ruffle anybody's feathers. Speak smooth and fair. You just speak positive lessons that tickle people's ear, make them really go away saying, you know, that was really great. Instead of speaking the gospel that pricks our hearts, that tells us that we're sinners, that shows us that we're wrong, and that shows us what we have to do to be right with God. Back in the first century with those people that followed the truth, it wasn't, as the old song goes, accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. Wasn't that at all. They didn't organize public relations seminars on how to win friends and influence people. But they taught brethren how to answer every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. So as we look at the identifying characteristics of the attitudes of God's people in the first century, we see, first of all, great boldness and plainness of speech. The word boldness involves a confidence. To be courageous, to act, to live. They had great boldness and plainness. They were speaking freely God's word. And this is a must for gospel preaching today. It's a must for us in teaching people to get the word into their hearts. The word that contradicts what they believe. That shows them that they're wrong. That their families are wrong that believe those wrong principles. That everybody they know and love is wrong if they follow the wrong principles that aren't in the scriptures. Let's look at a few prayers of the brethren. Go back to Acts 4. Let's read verses 23 through 21. Excuse me. Can't get this frog out of my throat. In Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23, the apostles were beaten, they were let go, and they came to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them, and they said, and they, when they heard it, lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So here they're praying to God. And they said, O Lord, thou didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves in array and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For of a truth, in this city, against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou disappoint, anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant unto thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness. Look at that. to speak thy word with all boldness, while thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done, through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice the emphasis right after being told not to preach Jesus anymore and being beaten, that they pray to God, and what do they ask for? Boldness. To speak the word of God. Brethren, we need that today. We need that boldness. Later we read in the fifth chapter, in the next chapter, look at verses 28 and 29. Acts 5, 28 and 29. And they were saying, we strictly charge you. Now they're confronting them again now. Because here they're out preaching and teaching and they're not doing what they told them. They told them, shut your mouth, don't preach Jesus anymore. So they're getting them. We strictly charge you not to teach in this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. Now there's a passage we all need to have as one of our prime passages of living upon this earth and seeking to do God's will. That's that right there. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers who raised up Jesus, whom you slew, hanging him on a tree. Now, could you get any more to the point than that? And we've got brethren today saying, oh, well, you can't talk like that to people. You'll offend them. That's the point. You can't prick their heart unless you offend them with the truth. Now, you've got to do it in love. You can't be hateful and mean and spite, despite out of when you're talking to people. You do it in love. You teach the truth. It's the truth. You're just teaching the truth, but you got to teach it. And he was doing it here. You slew him. You slew him, hanging him on a tree. Him did God exalt with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and remission of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God had given to them that obey him. Pretty to the point. There's no way they could misunderstand what he just told them. And that's our problem. That's our responsibility today. We've got to get people to understand that they can't be saved by believing a false doctrine called faith only. That they have to not only believe, but repent, confess, be baptized into Christ where they meet the blood of Christ, to get into the church that we read about in the New Testament, not into a man-made organization. And that they can't have these man-made doctrines and commandments and practices in their religion to please God. They can't do that and go to heaven because God doesn't allow it. He says, speak as his oracles. He says, don't add to or take away. Well, let's go on to verses 40 and 42 of Acts chapter 5. And to him they agreed. This is talking about when the Sanhedrin was discussing this. And Gamaliel said, well, just leave them alone. Don't do anything to them. Leave them alone. If this is of God, you're not going to stop it anyway. And if it's not of God, it'll stop. So he had some good advice there. Of course, I think he was, if I remember correctly, God was telling him what to say. Maybe not. I can't remember here. But look at verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles unto them, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They therefore, now I want you to see verse 41. They therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Now look at verse 42. This is just the opposite of what normal people would do. Verse 42. And every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ. They did the exact opposite of what the Jewish leaders told them to do. We must obey God rather than men. Same thing with us today. When our brethren start saying, well, you know, you really shouldn't be saying things like, don't put stuff in the paper that offends people. Don't say those, you know, that you can't be saved by faith only. Don't put that stuff in there that says, you know, that the Church of Christ is the only true church. Don't give them information like that. You're just going to turn them off and run them away from you. Brethren, I beg to disagree. If you don't do that, if you don't teach the truth, you're not going to be in heaven with God. That's all there is to it. You've got to love God enough to love His Word. I don't care what He teaches. I don't care what He says, and I don't care how much the world disagrees with it or hates it. That doesn't make any difference. If we're going to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we have to love the truth because that's from God. And I don't care if I don't like the idea of hell. Hell is part of truth. It's true. God tells us about hell, and I teach and preach hell. I don't like it. I don't like hell. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But it's truth. And I'm sorry people don't like the fact that they have to be baptized in water or they can't be saved. They can't even get into the church and they can't go to heaven. That's truth. That's the way it is. Whether you like it or I like it or not. Now, I don't like it that I have relatives that didn't do that that are going to be saved. But that doesn't matter. God is supposed to be supreme in our lives and our hearts. We love Him above everything else, and whatever His Word teaches, whether we might like it or not, has nothing to do with it. And that's not what's guiding most people religiously today. It's what they like, what they want, what they feel, what they think, and not what the Holy Scriptures teach. And so we have to remind ourselves of these things. You know, it also involves not only boldness, but it involves plainness of speech. But also in this plainness of speech and boldness, it involves a conviction or a confidence. A conviction or a confidence. If you and I are not convicted that this is God's inspired word and He's kept it pure down through the century, we're going to have a problem, aren't we? Well, you know, I don't really know if that's true. Have to be baptized, you have to be immersed in water before you can even have your sins washed away. You know, men might have messed around with this word, added to it or taken away from it. They might have changed it around down through the centuries. You know, this was for those people back. This is not for the modern world, the modern time. They got all these arguments to water down the Word of God. The Word of God is still just as strong and vibrant and forceful and meaningful today as it was when it was given to the apostles through the Holy Spirit in the first century. Creator sees that it stays active and alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. We have to keep that in our minds, that serving God and loving God is believing His Word is kept intact by Him, and that we can put all our faith and confidence in it. And that gives us conviction and confidence to talk to other people about it. And we know that we might be ridiculed. We might be persecuted even. But you know, there's one thing that we have, and that's fear. What kind of fear? We have to have the right kind of fear. Godly fear. We have to fear God and not men. And we have to be bold, have confidence that when we tell people what the Bible says about what they have to do to become Christians, to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be the kind of people He wants us to be, that we believe this so to the point that we would be willing to give our lives up for the truth at any given time. Be ready to be killed in any given way, at any given time, and leave this earth at any point because we believe this that strongly, that it is God's truth. And we have that godly fear that since we believe that this is really what it says, God speaking to us and He keeps it, God breathed, and man can't destroy it, man can't change it, that we're actually willing to lay down our lives at any given point for our Creator. Now, if we have that kind of boldness, that kind of plainness of speech and conviction and confidence, then we can talk to people. We don't have fear. We don't be afraid of them ridiculing us and making fun of us and ostracizing us and picking on us. We won't be afraid or ashamed, because this overshadows all of those feelings and drives them out of our hearts to where we have the courage to try to talk to people, try to get them to study with us, try to show them where what they're believing is not going to take them to heaven, going to take them to hell. I always pops into my feeble brain the Poseidon adventure. And one specific frame there where we're going along in the movie with this group, that's they understand it correctly, that the ship has turned upside down. You've got to go, actually you're going down, you're going up as far as your location to the ocean, but it's upside down. You're going down to the bottom of the ship, which is turned upside down, which is up. And here comes this string of people, and they're going that way. They're going down as far as the ocean's concerned. They're going up as far as the upside down boat is concerned. And guess who's leading them? A reverend, a religious guy. And they're all following him because they put their faith in him, that he's doing what's right, because he's being led by God. And they're all going to their death, following him deeper and deeper into the Poseidon. And man, I tell you, if that's not a perfect picture of what's going on in the religious world, I can't think of a better one. They're believing all of these leaders in the religious arena. Oh, they're right. You know, the Pope's right. Look at the Pope. Look at that organization. They're right. And it's really scary. But we have to deal with reality and the truth. And so we've got to remember these things. Well, my time's gone, so I got maybe about a third of the way through the lesson. So maybe I'll continue this later on down the road, and we'll just pick up here next time I get up here and continue along these thoughts. I hope these are some things that will help focus for you the ability to be more bold when you have opportunity, to be able to ask people for Bible studies, talk to people about their religious positions, their convictions. And you know, these opportunities pop up from time to time. And take advantage of them. And just remember, if you're spiritual minded and you're a tool for God, you see that door open and you'll say, "Say, that's interesting. Would you like to have a Bible study? I like studying the Bible with people. I'd like to discuss this stuff you've been talking about and see what the Bible says. Or give them some literature. You know, if I got you some literature, you're talking about your church, and I got a real nice pamphlet on, or Bible study on, the One True Church. You know, if they're not interested in a home Bible study, you can do it any way you seem feasible. You might want to start with a Bible study approach first, and then if they, sometime maybe, and then fall back to, could I give you some literature to study with your Bible? Would you be interested in that?" See, aggressiveness, we are talking to a person who is on the road to hell. And we might have a door open that we can give them some material, or bring them to services, or study the Bible with them. Don't let those pass. I've let many of them pass in the past. And of course, fortunately, I forgot them because I can't remember, but I know there were a lot of times that I had opportunity, and a lot of times that you'll have opportunity, and then later you'll look back, "Oh, man, why didn't I?" You know, I still do that. But if you're more cognizant of our responsibility, we're the, you know, like the song says, the Lord, He has no hands but our hands. He doesn't have people down here walking around doing His will but us. We're the ones. We're it. So we've got to do it. We've got to be as aggressive as we can. And that's why we have literature. That's why we put things in the paper. And as individuals, when we have opportunity, try to be influential over anyone we possibly can. Teach them the truth. If there's anyone here that wants to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ,